Good morning. Welcome to the February 2nd Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting. It's been a while since we had a meeting. I think October was our last meeting, so I'm glad we're starting off the new year and getting back in action so we can get some business done. I'd like to first take an opportunity to welcome two new board members. It's good to know we filled those slots. I want to welcome Janet Silverman and Steve Krennick to the board. I'm looking forward to your participation. I'd also like to congratulate James Silvers on being reappointed, and also I'd like to thank the commission for my reappointment to serve another 2 years on this board. I'd like to take just a moment of personal privilege before we get into the agenda. Unfortunately, between the last meeting and today, we lost one of our valued board members and former city commissioner, Joy Malikoff. Joy was a close family friend of ours, actually working for my dad at Jefferson National Bank, and I work with her at Colonial Bank. She was a fellow banker. So Joy gave a lot to this community and has left a legacy. So I'd like to pause for a moment of silence to remember Joy and in her honor. Thank you. But go ahead and turn it over to Mr. Belush. If you can go ahead and take the attendance. Looks like we've got plenty of bodies here to get some business done. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to you to take the formal attendance.
Sure. Please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do have 6 of 7 members present today, including the chairman, Michael Goldberg, Andre Sassion, James Silvers, Jeffrey Aronson, and our new board members, Janet Silverman and Stephen Krennick. Absent today is our vice chair, Dan Nagler.
Thank you. With that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the city attorney. He's going to give us some updates, let the public know how they can participate via Zoom. He'll go ahead and swear in the public that is here. The swearing in of anybody via Zoom will be done as they appear on Zoom. Mr. City Attorney, I'll go ahead and hand it over to you now, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning all, and welcome new board members. For the public, today's meeting of the Board of Adjustment has been scheduled in a hybrid format with a quorum of the board physically present in the commission chambers at its temporary location at 1901 Convention Center Drive, rooms 222 through 223, and applicant staff and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via the Zoom platform. In order to participate in today's meeting, those wishing to participate via the Zoom platform webinar may dial 888-853-5257, which is a toll-free number, and enter the webinar ID, which is 828-6961-5309, or log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 828-6961-5309. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial *9 if they are participating by phone. Before I swear in those that will be testifying today, I am going to advise all of the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You do not have to register as a lobbyist if you're speaking only on your behalf and not any other party, or if you are testifying as an expert witness providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you are appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you are an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you are appearing for or against an item or encouraging, arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. At this point, I usually swear in members of the public, but there are none here, Mr. Chair, so I'll do them as they appear on the agenda as the cases are called. Okay. Also at this time, I just wanted to update the board on an appeal, which was a petition for writ of cert filed in connection with the application that you heard on 1330 15th Street which is 1330 15th Street, LLC. This was heard back early fall, and the final board order was dated September 29th, 2023, after there was the reconsideration granted by the board, and then we had an additional hearing. At that time, the board denied petitioner's administrative appeal from the planning board's interpretation and upheld the city's planning director's determination and decision not to recognize the legally established nonconforming use of the suite hotel for the property at 1330 15th Street, which at this point where we're at in the proceedings is that it's been fully briefed. It's scheduled to go before the three panel judges on March 14th. There won't be oral argument. They'll just be issuing their opinion at that time. So we will hopefully have an update back in April as to what transpired on the appeal. And I'll update you at that time.
Yeah, thank you. So just to confirm, you know, there's no action needed by us. It's for informational purposes.
You know, correct.
And city staff and our attorney's office is on top of it. We'll keep us abreast at each meeting. Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. Okay, so it's the beginning of the year. So what we do at the beginning of every year is we appoint a chair and a vice chair because it's a one-year appointment once it's appointed by the board. So with that being said, I'll open up the floor to nominations for a chair. No. That's the electric chair.
Oh, the electric. Sorry about that. I make a motion for Michael Goldberg to retain his chairmanship.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Silvers. Motion by Mr. Silvers.
I second that.
Second by Mr. Essien. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you all. I appreciate the vote of confidence. Look forward to continuing chairing this year. Next, we need to go ahead and put out any nominations for vice chair at this time.
I would nominate Mr. Essien.
Okay, we have a nomination for Mr. Essien from Mr. Aronson. Do we have a second?
A second.
Okay, we have a second by Mr. Silvers. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Mr. Vice Chair.
Wow.
So you always got to, that's why you sat next to me this morning, right? You got to have my back. You're my new wingman. Yeah? Keep me out of trouble like you always do, right? All right, congratulations. Thank you, board, for that. Going to the next item on the agenda, the October 13th board meeting minutes were improved in the package that were sent to you all. Hopefully you had a chance to review those. I'll open it up to see if you have any questions, corrections on that. If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the October 13 minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion by Mr. Silvers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Essien. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I think technically, Mr. Belush, we need two abstentions because Mr. Krennic and Silverman.
They do have to vote on the item unless they acknowledge that there's something wrong. They do have to vote on the item.
Okay. Mr. Silverman's a yay and yeah. Mr. Krennic's a yay. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we have a request for continuance, ZBA 22-0143, 125-153 Collins Avenue. Mr. Belush, can you please go ahead and tee that up?
Sure. Again, this is ZBA 22-0143 for 125 to 153 Collins Avenue. This is an application appealing an administrative decision of the planning director in connection with the determination that 153 Collins Avenue and 157 Collins Avenue constitute one building site in accordance with Section 114.1 of the city's land development regulations. This has been on the agenda for some time, and it was last continued from October 13th, today's meeting. All interested parties have agreed and request a continuance to the May meeting of the Board of Adjustment. And with that, I'll turn it over to anybody from the public who wishes to speak on this item, or if Jeffrey Bass, if you'd like to speak on it, no? With that, is there anybody online who would like to speak on this request for continuance for ZBA 22-0143 for 125 to 153 Collins Avenue? There is nobody online requesting to speak.
Okay, any questions or comments from the board? With that being said, we need a motion to go ahead and approve that, right, Mr. Belush?
That's correct, a motion to continue to the
motion
the
to
May
approve
3rd meeting.
The continuance. Mr. Aronson,
second.
Second by Mr. Silvers. All in favor?
All right.
Oppose? Okay, that is moved. There's two other items, ZBA 23-0154, 1630 West 21st Street, and ZBA 23-0158, 2835 Lucerne Avenue. Those items will need to be re-advertised. I'll let Mr. Belush explain why
sure, there was an error in the public notice regarding the date of today's meeting for these new application items. So ZBA 23-0154 for 1630 West 21st Street and ZBA 23-0158, 2835 Lucerne Ave have been fully re-noticed for the March 1st meeting. We'll be back before you next month. So the board does not need to take any action on these items.
Okay, great. Thank you. Moving on through the agenda, are there any requests for extension of time?
There are not.
Any discussion items?
Nope.
Progress reports?
None.
Modification of previously approved board order?
None.
Continued items?
None.
Open and continued items?
None.
Okay, let's get to our business. We've got three items. The first one's going to be ZBA 23-0156, 1710 Bay Drive. Mr. Belush, can you please tee that up for the board and the public?
Sure. Before we bring this up, if I can just confirm, since there is nobody in attendance in the audience, I would like to see if the applicant is online for this application, which is for 1710 Bay Drive, ZBA 23-0156. If you are online, can you please raise your hand? Okay, so I've been informed that she's on the way, so we can move to the next item.
We can go ahead and move to the next. Okay, we can go ahead and move on. That's not a problem. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to ZBA 230157, 460 South Shore Drive. Mr. Belush, please tee that up for us.
Thank you. And the applicant and representative are going to be on Zoom for their presentation. So this is ZBA 23-0157 for 460 South Shore Drive. An application has been filed requesting a variance from the minimum seawall height requirements in order to repair an existing seawall along the property, which contains an existing single-story home to be retained. Now, as noted in our report, the subject property includes a single-story residence originally constructed in 1950. The existing seawall cap is located in elevation of 3.56 NGVD. Now, just for reference, in our staff report, we included both NGVD and NAVD numbers, but for purposes of just making it simpler, I'm only going to refer to the NGVD numbers, which are more commonly known and referenced in the city for residents. So a violation was issued on October 2020 due to the poor condition of the seawall along water intrusion under the seawall cap and into the property and affecting a neighboring property. The violation was issued to the current homeowner who had recently purchased the property when the violation was issued. The applicant is proposing to repair just the face of the existing seawall and keep the existing seawall cap at the current elevation. However, the city code requires a minimum elevation of 5.56 NGVD when the repairs are considered less than substantial. Less than substantial is a value that is less than $300 per linear foot or less. Based on the contract that's submitted by the applicant, the proposed cost is $137 per linear foot. So regardless, any amount of work on the seawall, regardless of how minimal the value would require bringing up the seawall 2 feet to meet the current requirements. So that's why the applicant is requesting a variance. As indicated in the report, while not objecting to the subject variance, in order to address the immediate need to stop water intrusion through the seawall, we did express concerns with the extremely low level of the existing seawall cap. Now, even the granting of the subject variance and the repair of the seawall, should the property flood through the seawall in the future, which in turn causes flooding on neighboring property, a new violation would then be issued. The granting of this variance does not allow the applicant to flood neighboring properties. It just allows them to repair the existing seawall to prevent what's happening right now, which is water going under the seawall cap. Now, we have included a condition in the draft order that clearly states that the subject variance is only for the height of the seawall, insofar it does not result in flooding to the adjacent property. As with other properties that have received seawall variances, this approval would require that any substantial improvements to the existing home and or redevelopment of the property would require that they construct a new seawall that meets the minimum requirements, in this case would be 7.26 feet NGVD. as the subject variance does not allow for flooding onto neighboring properties in the, now or in the future, we are supportive of the variance at this time and are recommending approval. With that, I'll turn it over to the applicant.
Yeah, before we do that, Mr. Lee, I just want to ask, I know for those of us that have been on the board, we've entertained some variances involving this, and I just want to throw out to the existing board and new board members, if you just want a 60-second explanation on NGVD and NAVD, because I know it was foreign to me. Ms. Silverman and Mr. Krennic, would you like me to have Mr. Belushis give a quick 60-second explanation on those?
Sure. So they're both datum points in terms of a relative height related to seawall, to mean sea level. The older standard is the National Geodetic Vertical Datum, which is from 1929, and the new one is NAVD, which is the North American Vertical Datum. They reference the same. It's almost like looking at Fahrenheit and Celsius. There's a conversion factor. To convert from NGVD to NAVD, you take the NGVD number minus 1.56 feet. So in result, they're both referring to the exact same point, just different ways of saying it. And it is a reference above mean sea level.
Okay. Everybody good on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. All right, so I think, do we have Bridget Vendrell? Is she on Zoom?
Yes, she is.
To present. Ms. Vendrell, are you there? Make sure we go. Open up. Okay, you want to go? Can you go ahead and unmute?
I'm in the phone.
Okay, great. Okay. Good morning. We'll go ahead and give you.
Good morning.
She needs to be sworn in, Mr. City Attorney. I'm sorry.
Yes. Bridget, please, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I swear. Yes.
Okay.
Before you begin, I'm sorry, I forgot this. I'm a little bit rusty. Any disclosures? I always have to ask you about that. No disclosures? Okay, great. All right, go ahead, Ms. Vendrell.
No.
We'll give you 10 minutes to present. Ms. Vendrell?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, you're good. The floor is yours. You have up to 10 minutes.
Okay. What is the PowerPoint?
Okay, it's up.
So I request approval for the seawall to repair.
Let us know when you would like to go to the next slide, and we can advance the slide.
Oh, it's not show up the computer. So this is the existing rock wall to be repaired. The contractor to LSI existing rocks to most extent possible. The new rocks on the similar size and shape to be used when required. Contractor to use a high strength mortar to repair existing rock wall. The route along which the west protection barrier will be defined. The west protection barrier will be installed, taking care that it will reach the floor or the channel to later fix it and thus protect possible falls and rock on debris fall. This is the stage. The existing rocks that have been fallen off and are on the floor will be removed and relocated inside the wall, locking them together and adding in high resistance concrete mixture for addition if additional rocks are needed. The same rock will be supplied. Charities and size of the existing ones. This will be done on all sea walls that need repair. After having all the rocks, we installed and locked together, a larger high resistant concrete will be applied to leave the wall smooth and without gaps. Like the neighbor, we have the picture number one. When the application of the high resistance concrete on the wall is finished, the entire floor of the work area and any possible debris that may have fallen off dislodged will be cleaned and removed. After the complete cleaning of the work area, the waste protection barrier will be removed. This is the picture in front of the property. So you can see on the both sides, only we repair that walls. This is the affidavit we have for erosion control. and the attachment and everything. That's it.
Okay. I'll go ahead and open it up to public comment first. Anyone here on Zoom for public comment?
There's nobody on Zoom for a public comment.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close the public comment. I'm going to go ahead and open it up to questions from the board through the chair. Mr. Aronson?
Thank you. So I'm not sure I fully understand this. The present elevation is 4.11 NGVD. Is that correct?
We're looking at page 6. If you look at page 16 on the staff report, because we skipped the first application. So we're looking at the start of this application is on page 13 of the board packages.
Gotcha.
The present seawall is at an elevation of, the cap is at 3.56 NGVD.
And they're looking to raise that?
No,
They want to keep that cap.
They want to keep that cap because the water is going underneath of it. If you saw the picture that was presented, the cap is fine. It's the rocks that are supporting that underneath of it that are allowing water to infiltrate under the seawall cap and into the property.
And the code requires, if there's any repair, if a non-substantial repair, that the height be raised to what?
2 feet higher.
So I have voted to approve variances regarding seawall heights, and they've usually been, you know, a foot or so off of code. But I'm a little troubled by this application because the code specifically says that if it's a non-substantial repair, that it must be raised to a certain height.
Correct. It basically requires if you touch the seawall at all,
right,
or any sort of improvements, it requires going to that minimum height.
And that height is 2 feet higher than what is being proposed. And it seems to me this variance request is basically saying to ignore that provision. They're not raising it a foot. They're not raising it an inch. They're just repairing it. And the provision in the proposed order, which says that this approval is only good so far as there's no flooding, seems to me to be we're putting the cart before the horse here. I mean, we're not protecting. The code was established to protect these properties, requires minimum heights, and I'm certainly willing to consider a reasonable variance. But they're not increasing the height at all, and the code specifically, this is not, we're being asked essentially to ignore the code. That's what we're being asked
to do
here.
Well, I think to meet the minimum, you're essentially requiring a new seawall, because they just can't raise that cap without installing all the vertical structure and all the support. So this basically is a short-term stopgap measure that may only work for a year, maybe only for 6 months, to prevent water from coming in under the seawall.
And then when we have the disaster, then the variance is no longer applicable.
If the water flows over the seawall and affects the neighboring properties in 6 months or next year, then at that time they will have to do a brand new seawall along the property.
Yeah,
so this is basically just a stopgap measure.
Okay, thank you for the explanation.
I have a question.
Okay, Ms. Silvers, go ahead.
The adjacent properties on either side, what's the elevation?
At the same level.
Same level.
Right.
So raising the seawall is not going to solve any problem.
Right.
Because the water's going to come in around.
Right. If the neighboring properties were lower, then I could see, you know, wanting to require raising it now. But the seawall at the other side is the same level. I mean, the seawall is the same level.
And there's nothing that requires the adjacent properties or the whole neighborhood,
correct,
to raise all their seawalls.
Correct.
Okay. I just, you know, it's...
Okay.
They're never going to be raised.
Of course not.
Well, they will if they demolish the building. Yeah. They have to bring it to code if someone buys the property and knocks it down.
I understand that, but even if they have they remove the building and put a new building, get a new permit, it's still going to flood because the adjacent properties are going to be at 3.5 feet, not 5.5.
Let me. I think we have a few more questions. We can have some discussion after, but I think Ms. Essayon has a question.
Yeah, through the chair. The neighboring property is a newer home, correct? And they're also at 3.56 right now, as you were just finished saying.
Right.
And setting precedent on the other ones that we've approved that have been lower, one, two, we've approved it up to 3.5. We've given the variance up to 3.5 to add a cap to that, correct? Well,
the ones that have been approved previously comply with raising at a certain level.
Right, but it was at what, and we approved to what?
About, let me see. The previous ones that were approved are similar to the one that we have on the agenda first. Let me just look and see what those that
I mean, in this situation, I told you, I mean, it's level to the neighboring properties. It doesn't, I don't think that we should force them to increase it right now when they could fix this problem. But I just want to understand what precedent have we set for people who are asking for variances, because this is continuing to come up.
There's no precedent. I think each case is looked at on an individual basis.
I understand. Some of the ones that we have approved because people did not want the seawall to block their view,
right,
obviously because it's much higher than their current property. We've given that variance, which has taken it up to what?
About 5.5 to the minimum, to 5.56.
Right.
Got it. Okay. And these violations, how are they? Is it because somebody's calling in a violation of a neighboring property, or are we? Do we have inspectors going out checking all the seawalls of the properties around Miami Beach?
I could come back and give you information, you know, for next month, for the future, to find out how we're doing that. But I think this one may have been an obvious case where you could see the water coming in, and you see that the seawall is deteriorating from the exterior. So,
right. Okay.
I like think I said, they were cited.
My question is. You know, is it the city that's coming out and finding that, or is somebody just calling and saying, hey, my neighbor, this is a situation?
Yeah. Like I said, this is really a short term, just to allow them to repair. You know, it typically takes years to get approval to do a new seawall. So this could be a short term gap to allow them to repair. In the meantime, you know, it would take a couple of years for them to actually get a permit to build a new seawall and comply with the requirements.
Well, have they applied for
no, because I think the first step was to apply for this variance. I don't know if we want to open it up again to the applicant, if they want to comment on this again.
Mr.
Brigitte, are you there? Would you like to say anything?
Yes, I'm here.
Would you like to comment on what the comments of the board members have had so far?
I don't the contractor. I only represent to the owner. So basically, I know his request to repair the seawall. That's it.
Do you have information on how much it would cost to construct a new seawall per linear foot? Do you know what that number would be, or what that average would be for a property like this?
No idea. No.
From my understanding, it's northward of $1,500 to $3,000 per foot to construct a new seawall.
But can't in the previous ones that we approved, and the board members' comments are right, they have gone up slightly. So it seems like this is more of a cost factor, because if they're going to repair the seawall, and I know even the ones we approved, we require that if the house is ever purchased and demolished, they have to bring it up to the code of 5.7, I guess.
It'll be 7.26.
Yeah, 7.26. So I guess this one, which is being discussed, and Mr. Aronson said it correctly, was they're not bringing it up at all.
Right. So that's the issue, because if they were already bringing up some, they would have the structure, the infrastructure in there to just then, you know, a minor addition to bring it up a foot or so. That's a minor cost implication versus doing a brand new seawall. So they would have to be construct what essentially is a brand new seawall in order to raise the cap. You just can't raise the cap with, with a minor investment.
That makes sense. Any other questions from the board, Mr. Krennic?
So this violation was first 3 years ago, about
2020. Correct. Yes.
And so in the interim, they have no ability to do any repairs without this.
Correct.
And as far as we know, have there been significant problems in the last 3 years? Or?
Not that I'm aware of, other than what the violation was issued for initially for the water intrusion. And I'm sure the longer it goes, then it'll eventually, if it goes long enough, they won't even be able to repair it. It'll just wash away.
And can you just repeat, I mean, if they wanted to replace it, that would probably take a few years to get approved?
Yes. To get a seawall permit, it'll probably take a couple of years in permitting.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Other questions? Or it could be, by the way, questions, board, or comments. You know, we do it all together. It could be a question or comment. Mr. Sure. Harrison?
Sir, I think I have more of a comment than a question. And I'm looking at it, I think, a bit more globally. Accepting the notion that there's climate change and the sea is slowly rising, it seems to me that the code was established for a reason, to encourage the increase in height of seawalls. And I don't think it's draconian in that a repair requires a lesser height increase than a substantial repair. And this variance request just seems to me to completely ignore the code. And I find it a little troubling. And yes, this may be the first property on the block in doing a repair that might be required to raise the seawall a bit, but it seems to me that it's within our ambit and discretion to make that kind of decision when the commission has already determined that we need to encourage height increases on seawalls. I mean, it's anecdotal, but I live in Sunset Harbor, and I look out on the Sunset Islands, and there's plenty of houses there and apartments that have old, low seawalls. But every time something is built or something is improved, the seawalls get higher. And it's not uniform. It's not uniform. I mean, we have I would venture to guess that in the event of, you know, an environmental situation where the sea is rising, whatever it be, the full moon thing, whatever they call it,
king tide.
I mean, at some point, it's going to overflow, and the lower heights there's going to be water intrusion in the lower heights and not in the upper ones. But it seems to me simply because the surrounding properties are at 3 feet, that's not, in my view, sufficient basis to completely ignore the code and the decision made by the commission. So I'm just troubled. If they were to be raising it a foot or some amount in the process, and it also seems to me that the code is encouraging that the owner, and here we have a new owner, that the code is encouraging the owners, rather than to do a simple repair, to do what's appropriate to bring it up to minimum height, because this repair is going to cost a lot of money. So, you know, it's obviously a little cheaper to just do the repair than it is to comply with the code. I'm just troubled by this. I'm troubled by this.
Okay. Let's go with Mr. Silvers. Let's do Mr. Silvers, then we'll do Mr. Essien.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the existing seawall does not comply to any building code right now. It is totally a rock seawall.
Correct.
A loose rock seawall.
Correct.
So in order, and they can't even raise it structurally.
By doing a new seawall.
Because there's no foundation to it.
Correct.
To increase the height of the cap.
Correct.
So it doesn't make any sense for, the only solution for them to do is to remove the existing seawall and put a new new seawall, which takes a couple of years for permitting.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, I'd like to make a suggestion that just like on Palm and Hibiscus, where I live, we have a special taxing district that for underground electric. And so it's on your property taxes, whatever that cost is. My suggestion is to approach the Homeowners Association in Normandy on that island, which they have, and suggest that the waterfront properties, and I'm sure 95% of the properties on North Shore Drive and South Shore Drive do not comply at the height. And if they can structure a special taxing district so it's deductible from their taxes, or it's on their tax property tax bill, they can amortize it over a period of years to pay for a uniform new height, new construction of a seawall. Because then it becomes a big project. You'd have to get the approval of the vote and the majority voting for that. But it would be a solution that the city could suggest or push through the Homeowners Association to deal with that problem. Otherwise it's like you do one and it's going to cost them $300,000, and the next guy, as there's a flood, is down at 3.5 feet. It's not good. There's no enforcement. There's no uniform solution to dealing with the whole island. It's very difficult to deal with one property when you're dealing with 100 properties. So I don't know.
I agree.
So you got to look at a solution to these problems. And, I don't know if my suggestion is the only solution, but it's one solution that the island could deal with. That's my comment.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Essien?
Ma'am, what is the cost of this repair that you're doing? I'm asking the contractor who's on Zoom.
I don't think the contractor is on the Zoom right now.
Do you know the answer? What is it?
$137 per foot, $8,900.
Total cost?
Total $8,900.
I mean, it's $8,900 versus $200,000. And the seawall is at the same height as the other properties, and the property next door looks like a newer, two- or three-story house. So I think we should let them fix this and get it done. The other thing is that, to set the precedent with these older houses, when you have newer houses next door and putting up a seawall that you're looking into a wall from your living room because it's 2 feet higher than, when you're sitting in your sofa inside, is sort of, I don't think it's the right thing to do.
Thank you, Ms. Essien. Any other questions from the board? Comments? Okay, we'll entertain.
Mr. Essien did make a motion.
Was there a motion?
Approve this permit, this variance.
Okay, so we have a motion.
I have one more comment, question, if I may.
Go ahead, Mr. Harrison.
How do we monitor water intrusion? This variance is only good so far as water intrusion. How do we monitor that?
I mean, you could ask the applicant to come back in a year for a progress report, and the board can evaluate any violations or conditions of the property.
I'm sure the neighbors are going to call it out.
There's nobody out there monitoring, the water levels on a constant basis.
Low tide, the neighbor.
Well, if we were to approve this and it's subject to a condition subsequent water intrusion, I think we should have that in the order.
We could request that the site be inspected maybe a year from now, and the results, maybe it's inspected during the time of the king tides. In October of this year, and then we bring the item back as a progress report to see, if there was any flooding on the property.
Mr. Essien, are you amenable to modifying your motion to accommodate? Ms. Silverman, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I guess just piggybacking off of what Jeff was saying before, just as a matter of public policy, how do we ever get the seawalls to be lifted if we just continue to give variances? I'm just wondering, because eventually, as the point he made, they're going to have to be lifted or else everything's going to sink.
But the same goes for, like, we have houses now that are below flood. When somebody comes in and buys the property to demolish it, at that time, you know, the house would be elevated, the yard would be elevated, the new seawall would be created, and it would comply with all the minimum requirements.
But that could take 50 years if, you know, unless every house gets turned over.
Yeah, but that's the nature of the beach where we have, you know, if somebody wants to stay in their home, it is very expensive to do a brand new house and do a brand new seawall. So there's going to be this period of transition where you have older homes and, you know, lower homes in relation to newer homes. But we have a provision where if they do a substantial improvement, so if someone comes in and renovates the house at a value that exceeds 50%, which is not very much, you know, the actual house may only be $200,000 or $300,000. So it will not take much of an improvement to the house for them to then kick it up and require them to rebuild the seawall.
There's waterfront property in Miami that only has a value of
$200,000. No, that's not, so that value is only the house itself. So that does not consider the location. That's only the value of the structure itself,
Okay. Regardless
of where it's located, yeah. And Mr. Rothstein just suggested that if we're going to do an inspection and a report, that it be done a year after the permit is issued.
Actually, finalized. Because I'm not sure. Because then we can test the strength of whatever's been put up there, and if they do accrue another violation between the finalization of the permit when it's inspected and it's supposed to be waterproof and sealed, then you would have a better judge. Because if it takes them 6 months to finish this, and we come back in a year, the seawall's only going to be there for a year.
How do you test it?
Yeah, I was going to ask that same question.
Whatever precipitated the code violation from being issued today, if that occurs again, it's obviously a visual. I mean, you could see that there's a chunk missing and water's going underneath.
You would see damage to the seawall.
Or if the neighbors start seeing ponding in their backyards because water goes in every direction that we can imagine, it might be that portion then, if it's affecting the neighbor and the neighbor reports it, but you really won't have a guideline or a benchmark until the actual project is completed. So rather than a year from today or a year from the day of the issuance of the permit, my suggestion would be that once the permit's finalized, that would trigger the year.
And we can send that an inspector too, so we can do that, have access to the property, and we can go during a period of, you know, elevated water and check the condition.
So it would really be, like you said, it could take 6 months to do the repair. So if we do it, revisit in a year, it's really only 6 months from the time that the repair was complete.
We're probably looking at you know, sometime fall of 2025. But of course, if after the permit is finaled and there is water intrusion, then that would be a violation.
Once it's completed, there needs to be an inspection.
Yes.
So wouldn't it be better to make the year from the time it's completed, an inspector inspects the final completed product,
that's what
you're proposing. Yes. Okay, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So I guess it will go back to Ms. Sassione. If you want to modify your...
I'm fine with making that modification.
Can I have one more?
Ms. Silverman, go ahead.
This happened 3 years ago, the original violation. So it would seem to me just that we live in Miami. There's storms all the time. There's king tides every year or whatever. Why did it take so long for this to get here? And what's been happening in the meantime? I mean, have people's property – do we know if people's properties around them have been flooding, you know, all the time because this has been 3 years unrepaired?
Well, the application was filed last summer. It's taken – because we haven't had a meeting in some time – it has taken some time to get to the board, and it has taken them time to submit drawings to even, you know, request a permit or file for a permit.
Is that an additional code violation that this has been outstanding for so long? I'm just curious if there's any incentive for people to actually come quickly
There will be fines assessed and accrued
if the case has gone to the special magistrate. There would normally be a compliance date and fines running. I just don't have the information here, but I can certainly check on the property. But if there's an open violation and it has been transmitted to the magistrate, there's normally either a progress report, because they need outside regulatory, such as DERM, approval, or there would be a compliance date and they very well may be running fines. that won't stop until the permit's finalized. And
I mean, I just think, I just think in a city where, you know, flooding is a constant issue, that, I mean, if it's our fault that they took so long, like, because they had to go to Durham and they had to go to, you know, all, and we held up the permit, that's one thing. But if it's their fault because they delayed getting it filed and, you know, getting a contractor and getting plans submitted and everything else, I think that's a whole different thing. And I don't know what the answer to that question is, but I just, as a matter of public policy, we should obviously encourage people to do these things as quickly as possible, just because, you know, this happens all the time. There's flooding all the time.
I think the standard, you know, typical short time frame to get any sort of seawall approved through Durham is a couple of years.
Well,
which is insane.
I think for any sort of review.
So I got a question. You know, I think it's obvious if you read the write up that staff did, was there was one of the neighbors, you know, obviously says something, because it says a current homeowner who has recently, it says, I'm sorry, allowing water intrusion under the seawall into the property affecting a neighboring property. So obviously that's how this came up. So my question is, and I'd like to throw it out to the applicant. I mean, someone complained, so I would think they would have a vested interest in following this. You know, obviously we posted and letters were sent out within the vicinity that you're applying for a variance. So my question to you is, have you had any discussion with your neighbors about what occurred? Are they okay with you not raising the seawall and with the repair? You know, I'd like to throw that question out to the applicant. Ms. Vandrell?
I don't receive anything from any neighbor's complaint.
You never received a complaint from a neighbor? Okay.
And like I said, we have not received any comments on this variance request.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's something to consider. Yeah, there's no one that is against what the applicant is asking for. So keep that in mind. Any other discussion, comments?
Case. One other question.
Go ahead, Mr. Silvers.
This property was never cited for a violation. This whole issue came up because they asked for a permit.
No, they got a violation.
They did
get a violation, yes.
Okay.
October 10th, 2020.
2020, okay.
Almost, almost 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. So I guess let's go back and just kind of – like Ms. Sasser, and you had a motion. Do you want to entertain that motion with the amendment?
I'm fine with making the amendment to modify it to have it evaluated after a year after it's completed. That's fine with me.
Is there a second?
And with the and after a king tide.
Sure.
Well, that would have occurred. That would have occurred. It's a year from the completion of it. So that's a full year.
Okay.
It's a full cycle. So that would be.
I second it.
Okay, we got a second by Mr. Krennic. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, congratulations, Ms. Vandrell. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
General comments.
Okay, sure. On the issue?
Yeah.
Before we go back to the other item, Mr. Estione would like to make a general comment, so I'm going to grant him that privilege.
Thank you, Chair. So the Durham timeline, is there any way possible that the city could help facilitate with cost of maybe adding another representative that is designated to Miami Beach to help that process?
How
can we look into the fact of saying, because maybe it's a cost issue, and obviously this is a big deal for Miami Beach, and maybe there's a way that we could help incur the cost with that, so that just like we're doing the same thing with the police situation with testing the drugs and whatnot, and we're incorporating the costs to help facilitate that. Maybe there's a way of us having a designated person to Miami Beach that we pay for within the Durham department that helps speedy up this process.
That's a bigger issue that's outside of my purview. I can discuss it with the planning
director. We got to start the ball rolling somewhere.
I have no information on you for that today. But
I agree. Thank you for the comment.
Thanks.
I'm duly noted. Thank you, Ms. Essien. Okay, let's go back to the first item, ZBA 23-0156, 1710 Bay Drive. Mr. Belush, can you go ahead and tee that up for us, please?
Sure. So this is an application requesting a variance from the minimum seawall height requirements in order to repair an existing seawall on the property, which contains an existing two-story home to be retained. This is a little bit different compared to the one we just saw.
This is more similar to the applications that the board has approved most recently. The subject site includes a two-story residence originally constructed in 1950. The home has was constructed with an elevation of the first floor located at 5.76 NGVD, and the rear pool deck along the water is located at an elevation of about 5 foot NGVD. The existing seawall is lower at an elevation of 4.11 NGVD. The applicant is proposing to construct a seawall at an elevation of 5.58 NGVD. So this has been elevated to comply with the minimum 5.56. But the code, because they're doing a more substantial improvement here, the value is more than $300 per linear foot. The code technically requires that it be brought to 7.26 NGVD now. However, it has been designed in the future to accommodate an easier retrofit to add onto the existing seawall that they're going to be building to raise it up to 2 feet to meet the 7.26 NGVD. Now, similar to what we've seen in the past, because the applicant is retaining the existing home and pool deck, raising the seawall to 7.26 would result in a visual barrier or a wall that's 3 feet tall along the property. So they're asking for this variance to allow a lower height now to allow visibility through from the house to the water. And we have a condition that if there's a substantial renovation of the house in the future, or they sell the property and somebody new comes in, at that time they would have to then just not do a new seawall, just add the cap to it, because they've done the foundation and have all the structural components to allow an easy retrofit to elevate the seawall to that minimum height. So for that reason, we are recommending in favor of this variance. And the homeowners here, Ms. Martinez, would you like to come up and speak on the application?
Ms. Martinez, I don't think you were here for the swearing in, Mr. City Attorney. So you want to go ahead and swear her in, please?
That would be correct. Ma'am, please stand, raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, before I hand it over to you, Ms. Martinez, any disclosures? Okay. Got up to 10 minutes. Thank you. Come again.
Thank you, Board, for
Please come
me.
To the podium.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
I'm usually quite loud, and I don't need something like this, but I'll save my voice. Dawn Martinez, homeowner, 1710 Bay Drive. Thank you for allowing me to speak. And I think that you, from hearing your previous comments regarding other variances, I believe you pretty much have a grasp on, you've seen this before. We do pay to see the water and not a wall of cement. I know it doesn't matter the elevation of the other seawalls. I understand that. But this will be, even with the allowance of a lower seawall, it will be significantly higher than all the other seawalls around us. We do want to raise it. We do want to do the right thing. We do have water intrusion over our current seawall. But we would do nothing if we had a wall that was 3 feet in front of us and would block our view. So I'd rather do something than nothing at all. And hence we're requesting the lower requirement, which is based on repairs, not significant repairs, but those repair values are based on outdated repair costs before COVID. So we crunch numbers any way we could put it, and we just can't get, with the correct piling support that you need for a heavy seawall, you just can't meet those numbers of a repair. Now, we have no leaks on our seawall. We just merely need the cap to prevent intrusion. However, with a very high seawall cap, also the 7-point NVDA or whatever the requirement is, that's also a trap. And then you become a fishbowl. We've had hurricane intrusion, every major hurricane, Irma, the one before that, and we usually get an inch of water in our house, and we have to clean out the dirt and all that. Now, the water's going to come over the seawall because we get those heavy winds over the bay, and we're talking, you're getting water over the house. We actually lost a roof on the first major hurricane because the lifting factor of the waves crashing over. So the water will get in. And too high of a seawall with your sod factor so low, it's a trap. So you're going to be trapping all of that water that comes in. You have to have a way for it to exit. You have to be able to bring that soil up to the near the top of the seawall so you get the flow out, which is what's happening right now. But we don't want to trap all that water. So we're asking for lower to help with the tides coming in. And when we build a new house, which is what the new provisions are for, the 7-foot seawall are for, that is for new construction. When you bring in soil, you elevate the home, and that makes sense. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Let me go ahead and open up the public comment. There's no one here. Do we have anybody on Zoom, Mr. Belush?
No, we do not.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and open it up to board members for questions or comments through the chair. Mr. Asione?
When was the last time that the pricing was elevated, reviewed in order to?
So it has been, I think it has not been evaluated. My understanding is I discussed this with Public Works, and that number is going to be changed based upon a new evaluation.
And when is that going to happen?
I can get back with you and after speaking with the Public Works Director. My understanding is that they are going to be revising those numbers.
I'm just saying because a lot of these applications might not even come to us if those numbers are revised, and we should really take this burden off of our residents from having to go through this when these numbers are not real.
I agree.
Good point. Thank you. You have another comment? Go ahead, Ms. Martinez.
If I may, I heard from your previous application, and you were discussing about how can we help the community bring their seawalls up. I see it all on our island, which is Normandy Island. They're up, down. There's new houses being constructed. It's the cost. This is going to cost me $35,000 just for a seawall cap, not the seawall. If there was some sort of assistance from the city, people could apply, you know, that would be up to them. If they were like, well, I have plenty of money, I don't need to go through the burden of applying for assistance, that would be so helpful for people to be able to raise that, because the new people that are coming in are paying multi-million dollars for their home. They, when they rebuild a home, they're factoring in all of that stuff. They can afford it. But there are so many homeowners here that have bought their homes that only cost them maybe $300,000. They're older people. They may be on fixed incomes. They don't have the means to repair their seawalls. So that's a big problem. Mm-hmm. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I heard someone else had a question or comment. Mr. Aronson?
Yeah, I was just going to thank you and appreciate Ms. Martinez for her awareness of what's required under the code and the analysis that she's made, and I think she's clearly approaching this in good faith. And I also think that this application is within the ambit of other applications that we've approved. And I am very sensitive to the whole argument of a wall blocking the view. I mean, if you're paying for a waterfront property and that property was built in 1950, according to standards of 1950, I think that we should take that into consideration. So I just wanted to thank you for making this application.
Thank you. Any other comments? I'll just say, you know, I saw you bought the house in 2000, so you've been in 24 years.
Yes, sir.
So it's great to see, you know, residents that have been here so long and just doing your homework and being proactive. So, yeah, we thank you. And we thank you for coming in person. That means a lot, too.
Thank you.
So with that, I entertain any motions.
I would move to approve.
Okay, Mr. Aronson, motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Asione. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations and good luck. Thank you. Thanks again for coming in. We appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Mr. Chair, before we go on to the next
yes.
the next item, I know it's not an attorney's update now, but I just did want to update the board on the first application that we heard today. There is a pending special magistrate case that's been open since 2021. There was a compliance date set of last October, October 25th. So right now the property is running fines, and it's approximately $6,500 that they will have to address with the magistrate once the project is finished.
Okay, great.
So there is an open violation on the property.
Great. Thank you for the update.
Thank you.
That's good information. We appreciate that. Okay, let's go on to our last application, which is ZBA 23-0153, 719 West 51st Street. Mr. Belush, could you tee that up for us, please?
First, let me see if we have.
Do we have the applicant on Zoom?
Nobody here in the
I think,
chambers.
Mateo Cornell
online?
Or Tony Leone, are you on?
Right. Is there anybody online for representative for 719 West 51st Street? No, we have Fernando Miguel, who was the first application on the agenda. So with that, I don't see the applicant online or present here.
Do we entertain it, or do we just defer it? Because they're required to be here to present?
They're not required, but I think you may want to...
maybe address, open up to the board and see if they have any questions or concerns. I mean, not that we can ask questions.
I think we should probably continue it to the March 1st meeting.
Yeah. Did they confirm they were going to come when you spoke to them?
Yes. I mean, we noticed the date. They were all sent the information.
Okay. I would agree with your recommendation if the board agrees for a continuance. I would need a motion on the floor to continue this item.
Yeah, I would move to continue.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Aronson. Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Krennic. All in favor?
Nice.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We'll go ahead and add that on to the... To the March agenda.
Chair, I have a question.
Yeah, Mr. Essien.
Do we need to make a formal request regarding this changing of the values for these seawalls?
What I can do is I can report to you next month. I'll discuss it with the Public Works Director, and I can report to you next month in terms of the status of that.
Got it. But how long does that take? I mean, we know what the values are. We know everybody submits their cost. Why can't it be done prior to next month?
No, I can let you know what I can email. I can.
I just want to make this happen as fast as possible.
Let them do the research. Yeah. Report back at next month's meeting.
Right. I know that's been under discussion for a while. I don't know why it takes so long, but I can report back to you next month.
And who approves that?
Like I said, I don't know who has to, if it has to go to the commission. Or if it could just be a number that's changed.
Okay, so why don't we just make sure we add that as an item to the report?
I know we do have other items in our code that reference, say, a public works manual that can just be updated. It doesn't require, a formal code amendment. I don't know if that's the case with these seawall evaluations.
Got it. And I think also once that's done, I honestly think that this is merits, a marketing video to our residents of what could be done, how it's done. Blah, 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 because this is a hot topic for the city to have mm-hmm. these seawalls and, giving that information, spreading that information out to our community in a nice digital way might be helpful.
No, and I will speak with Public Works Director and also recent homeowners who have gone through the process for seawall improvements and see what the challenges are and see what we can do and maybe, bring it to the planning director and see what options the city can have to try to improve the speediness of these reviews.
You can have workshops for all these waterfront properties in the via the homeowners association.
I mean, we have something like that happens now for guardhouses,
right.
Things like that. So, yeah, that's something that I think should be discussed.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Good point, Mr. Yassian. Thank you for those comments. Okay, do we have any appeals, Mr. Belush?
We do not.
Okay, so our next meeting is going to be March 1st. We'll now have at least four applications for that meeting. So looking forward to seeing you all at the March meeting. And any other business, good and welfare?
No other business. And the Mr. Sure. Silver's asked, the April meeting is on a Friday.
What date is that?
I have a question.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Harrison?
I think it's probably more directed to Mr.
It's April 5th.
Mr. Belush and Council.
Oh, I'll be back.
Okay, go ahead.
We've continued the, I'll just refer to it as the Big Pink application, the appeal, three or four times at least. I'm just wondering what the status of that is, if you have any knowledge. It's a very substantial matter, and I'm just wondering if there's settlement discussions or there's litigation, or is something going on here that we should be aware of?
I mean, I don't have any information. We always hope that there will be a settlement in advance of the meeting. I know that it was continued now to the May meeting in fairness to all parties involved due to other scheduling. So everybody agreed on the May meeting as being the best date for all parties. Other than that, I don't know if there's been some discussion going on regarding a settlement, but we're hoping that is the case.
Didn't they also, I would assume they would want a full board.
That's part of the reason, too.
We haven't had a full board.
Right.
So that was the initial reason for the request for continuance, yes.
If this is actually going to be heard in March?
Sorry, May. It'd be May.
Why May?
It was in order, all parties request continuance to the May meeting because that's when they all could be available. So this, the soonest this would be heard, the soonest that would be heard is the May meeting.
Okay. So that's even more so. May I request that? I know there was a large packet of papers associated with that appeal. Are you going to resend them to us, or?
If you want, so we didn't bring the entire package. So the board members, I think yourself, Mr. Goldberg, Mr. Asian, Mr. Silvers, if you want to have a paper copy of everything that was submitted through that appeal process, which is a stack about this big, you can come pick it up in the planning department. We have saved it for you. If you don't want it, let us know, and we'll recycle it.
It's available online?
No. Well, the record of everything that was submitted is available online.
Right.
What was submitted to us is a paper copy of all of that.
That went to the planning board, right?
The item. No.
No.
It only came here as an appeal.
It'll get straight down. Okay.
As an appeal of the planning director's decision.
Right.
Okay. So what the fuck?
Can you refresh what that was?
The big pink item? I don't know.
I thought we were talking about the...
Well, I don't think we should because it's not on the agenda, and this is a publicly noticed meeting.
Right.
We can't discuss an item. I would table it at this point. Any other items? Any other good and welfare? Okay, thank you, board. Good meeting. Appreciate your participation, and everybody have a great day and a great weekend. Motion to adjourn?
Motion made.
Okay, approved. By acclamation. Thank you.